Mark chapter 1, I'm going to preach today on the subject, when Jesus went to church. And I think if we look at when Christ went to church and the things that happened, I think that that's a message to us as well of some of the things that should happen when we go to church. Some things that we have a right to expect the Lord to do. And it's not that we're demanding of God, it's just when the Lord is there, there's some things that will always happen, will always take place. Let's begin reading today in Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. Mark chapter 1 and verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished. I have that word astonished underlined in my Bible. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were amazed. I have the word amazed underlined. Insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. I'll stop reading there this morning. By way of introduction, I just want you to focus in on two words that we'll finally conclude the message with. Those two words are found in verse 22, and that is the word astonished, and verse 27, the word amazed. So when Jesus went to church, it was amazing. I think when we leave a service, we ought to be able to say among everything else, when Jesus is there, it's always amazing. There's some things leading up to this before I get to the point of to why they were so amazed. I want to call your attention to just by way of introduction. First of all, notice the setting. In the setting, we see the fact of the place where they were at. They were at Capernaum in verse 21. They're very specific about it. They were not only at Capernaum at the place, but the period of time was the Sabbath. So this is the day of worship for the Jewish people. So they're in Capernaum. Here they are, Jesus on an itinerant, traveling from place to place. But when it was the Lord's day, we find him at the synagogue, which is symbolic to us as the house of God, the place where the word of God is shared and taught and preached, and the place where the word of God can be ministered. So here it is, Jesus on his itinerant. He is now at the Sabbath day, but not only is Jesus there, but the Bible says they are with him. The people went with him. Now, I believe God honors us for assembling together here today. There's something special about assembling together. And when we come together in a place like this on the Lord's day, I believe God will always honor us for what we're doing. God will bless you. Your week will be better by being able to say, I've been to church this week. There's something special about it. So we see the fact that it was all about Christ and these disciples that are following him. They could have said, well, you know, we're traveling and we don't need to go to church. But that wasn't the case of it. You don't go to church because you need to. You ought to go to church because you want to. So here, Jesus didn't need church. The church needed Jesus. And we sure need Jesus as well. So they have a desire to be there just like you. You have a desire. This is a holiday weekend. There's a lot of places you could have been, but you chose to be in church today. And Jesus will bless you for it. That's the setting of it. But then we see the sermon. Jesus, when he gets there, he starts teaching this message. He teaches a scriptural sermon. It's his doctrine that he's sharing with them. When we come together, what we share ought to be out of the Bible. It ought to be Bible-based. It ought to be scriptural. If we want to be blessed and we want to leave amazed and astonished, we ought to stay inside the book. So it was a scriptural sermon, and it was a spiritual sermon. It was not as the scribes and Pharisees. Now, here's the difference. Jesus taught and preached with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him. He even said that he was anointed to preach the gospel, and that's why he had come. He went back to the Old Testament prophecy of his life where the anointing had come. tongue. So it was different because what he was teaching was anointed by the Spirit of God. Now, you can go to church, and that's a great thing, but if you go to church and the preacher or the teacher or the people that's ministering to you have not sought God to be filled with the Spirit, and if it's not Spirit-filled, then it's going to be a dead, dull time. But if it's Spirit-filled, you're going to leave saying, we were astonished and we were amazed. Somebody said to me one time, said, it can't get any better than this. Yes, it can. It can always get better. God has things that we haven't uncovered, things that we don't even know about. It only gets better and better and better as we lean on the Lord. So it was a Spirit-filled sermon. Not only do we see the setting and the sermon leading up to all of this, but I want you to look at some of the things about the Spirit. When he got there, the strange thing is there was visitors that were there. And the visitors that were there, of course, Jesus and they that were with him. Jesus went. There were the regular people that were there. But then there was this man with this unclean spirit. Do you know the devil visits churches? See, every time you meet, you can count on it. There'll be visitors there. The Lord will be there. But everywhere the Lord's at and God's people's at, you can rest assured the devil doesn't like it. He's going to show up too. Now, I don't know why you go to church regularly and faithfully. I go to church if for no other reason. I don't want the devil to get my seat. And he comes. He's here today. You don't believe he's here? You wait and see. When God starts to bless, or people's hearts are challenged, or the drawing power of the Holy Spirit to bring people to the place of repentance, you mark it down, the devil will always show up. He knows the perfect time to show up. And he also knows how to use innocent things to somehow try to let you know that he's there. He was not only visiting, but he was visible. They could see that this man had an unclean spirit. When God starts to bless, it doesn't take very long to figure out what side the devil's on, because he'll be against everything good that Jesus is doing and Jesus is teaching. The devil will always be against it. He'll always cause people to be angry. He'll always cause people to go against the word of God and the way of God. So they were very visible in the fact that it didn't take them long to figure out something's wrong with this man. But not only was the unclean spirit visiting, and not only was the unclean spirit visible, but the unclean spirit was vocal. He was crying out. He tried to outcry Jesus. Now listen to me. I don't care what you do. You cannot overcome the voice of the Lord. He is greater than every evil spirit that has ever walked to and fro in this earth. He is greater than every other power that man has ever known. You cannot stop the message of Christ. I don't care how chaotic things get, how much there's distractions, and how much people sometimes are uninterested, and you get to the place that people maybe think the devil's winning out. I've got news for you. He has not won. He will not win. Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth, and even the demons are subject unto him. So I don't care what the world cries out, how much they cry out against God, how much they cry out against God's people. That doesn't matter. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, has all power, and he rules and he reigns forevermore. And let the world cry out, and let the demons cry out. They are subject to his power and to his authority. He is the final voice, has the final say, and there's nobody like Jesus. Now, when I read this, I was somewhat amazed at what all this unclean spirit knew about Jesus. Just like I'm sometimes amazed at how much the devil knows about the church. The church of the living God, the devil knows a lot about what's going on at church. He's there more than some of the members are. I know I hear it vocalized, and you do too. You know who knows more about this church than anybody else in this community? People that have never been here. They tell me every week what I do here. Of course, I've never done it, but they think I've done it. And they're vocal about that. They're very vocal about that. They know how much money we bring in. They know what we do with the money. They know what we ought to do with the money. They know what's going on. They know what's happening, different places. I'm telling you, the devil, he's got this thing figured. He knows more about Jesus and more about church than what you realize. Look very quickly in verse 24. Let me tell you. What he knew about Jesus. First of all, he knew who he was. He called him by name. Jesus. He knows Jesus. In fact, unclean spirits know Jesus when they don't know us. You remember the seven sons of Sceva when they went to cast out the evil spirits? And when the evil spirits talked back to them, they spoke back to them. They were commanding the unclean spirits to come out. They were rebuking them. And they cried out and they said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? But they know Jesus. And that means if Jesus is in us, they know that Jesus is there. When Jesus is in the service, they know that. They knew who he was. Notice something else. They even knew where he was from. Look in verse 24. Where was he from? Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. He's very specific. I know where you come from. You've come from Nazareth. The unclean spirits not only know who Jesus is, but they know where he come from. The third thing is, they knew what he could do. Said, are you come to destroy us? They knew his power. What have you come to do? Have you come looking for me? Have you come to try to destroy this thing? Now, we may not know the power of God, but let's get this on record. Every demon in hell knows the power that Jesus has, and they know that they are under his foot. I don't have control of them, and I don't have power over them, but Jesus has power over them. And when he is in our church services, that's when we'll see the unclean spirits put in subjection to Jesus Christ. So they had no defense, so they started crying out, I know you could destroy it, but why don't you just leave us alone? That's what the devil wants. The devil wants the church to leave them alone. The unclean spirits want us to leave them alone. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. They should be on the defense. We're not on the defense, church. We've already won the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hell is not fighting us. We're supposed to be fighting hell. They knew what he could do, and you know something else. They knew why he could do it. They called him, in verse 21, the Holy One of God. He was pure, all power. God manifest in the flesh. They're not only saying, I know you can do it, but I know why you can do it. You're God. Now, I'm not God and you're not God, but he is. And if we lean on him, he can do anything. So here we see it left them in amazement. Now, what were they amazed at? What's the big deal about them being so amazed? When they use that word astonished, and amazed. Well, think with me about two or three things real quick. They were amazed at church. That's where it was happening. And they were not only amazed in verse 22 and verse 27. They were astonished in verse 22, amazed in verse 27. Now you got to get this. They were amazed at the beginning of the service and they were amazed at the end of the service. The whole service, they were amazed at what was going on. So whatever was happening in that service from the start to the finish, they were amazed by it. You know, that's the kind of church services we need. We need church services where we're amazed from the first amen to the last amen. We ought to be amazed at what God is doing and astonished at what God is doing. Why were they that way? Well, for one thing, who showed up? The Savior showed up. A sinner showed up. And so did Satan. And they said, what are these three doing together in worship? This doesn't seem right that they're all at church, but they're all there. But when Jesus ended everything, then the amazement is all explained. They were first amazed at his presentation. In verse 27, they said, what thing is this? He presented the gospel, the word of God, the living word of God is now teaching the written word of God. And when they finished hearing it, they said, what thing is this? We've never heard it like this before. Not only in his presentation, but his preaching. Verse 27 says, what doctrine is this? You know, it's a sad thing that there's people that'll go to church today and they give their time and they get to church, and when they get to church, they don't hear anything from the Bible. The doctrines of the Word of God, they're totally, not that they're ignorant people, but they're ignorant to the doctrines and the teachings of this book. Now, we're not better than anyone else, but I'll say this, we better stay in the book. And we better teach what he taught and preach what he preached. And we need to stay inside the covers of this book. When I preach, I need to be preaching about Jesus. Not about me, not about you, but I need to be preaching about Jesus and preaching about his word and telling others what he's teaching. It may seem strange to people when they hear those doctrines, and that's the way that it is. Unsaved people, when they first hear the gospel presented to them clearly and plainly the first time, most of them walk away and scratch their head and said, I've never heard anything like that before. I thought to go to heaven, you just had to go through a few rituals or go to church every now and then, and that's all there is to it. They know nothing about all that are sinners and how that we need forgiveness of our sin and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sin. And when they heard that preaching, they were amazed at the preaching. Verse 27 too tells us they were not only amazed at his preaching, not only amazed at his presentation, but they were amazed at his power, for he taught with authority. You never have to back up when you're standing on the word of God. But if it's your opinion, or it's your idea, or it's something that you've convinced yourself of, you'll find yourself constantly trying to find answers for what you believe. But if you're staying inside of his word, when someone asks you, why do you believe that? You can go right to the word of God. Early this morning, I got a call from a pastor friend. He said, what do you think about this? I said, well, really, it doesn't matter what I think or you think, but I'll tell you what I have found in the Bible, what the Bible says about it. And he said, would you care to share it? And I said, I shared what I had on my heart with him. And when I finished from the word of God, he said, you're not going to believe it. That's exactly what I have written down in my sermon today. He said, but the strangest thing, I started to preach on this, and he said, I got to a point and someone said, that's not right. I believe it this way. I said, well, they have the right to be wrong. Because it really doesn't matter what you believe. You can try to convince yourself you're on your way to heaven and that you're a good person and that's enough to get you in it. You can tell yourself all that you want to. But the truth of the matter is every one of us have to recognize the work of Christ and confess our sin and confess that he's Savior and confess that he rose from the grave. If he's not alive, then we can't receive forgiveness because there is no intercession for us. It is what he says in his word. And there is power with authority. They weren't used to that. They weren't used to a preacher. They were used to a politician in the pulpit. Kind of like the preacher one day. Fellow sitting beside of him on the pulpit. And he looked over and he said, hey, preacher, we got a lot of Methodists here today. Don't say anything about the Methodists. A little while later, he leaned over and said, hey, preacher, we got a lot of Catholics here today. Don't say anything about the Catholics. The preacher just kept looking at the crowd. A little while, he leaned over and said, hey, preacher, I've looked this crowd over. He said, there's not a Lutheran in the crowd. Let them have it. You don't target sermons toward individuals. You target sermons on Christ. And with the authority, it is not against anyone or anyone's religion. It is the authority of the Word of God. But we live in such an age of fear where now preachers have gotten to the place that they're so afraid of the backlash, that they're so afraid of standing on the Word of God, and they're so afraid if I preach that, then I'll lose this one and I'll lose that one. I never want to see people leave this church, but I cannot apologize for the Word of God. We need to stand on this book, and if America is ever to see revival come, we've got to get back to what thus saith the Lord, and we need to tell people, we need Jesus to forgive us of our sins and save us. None of us is worthy of heaven, but through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we can be saved. His power amazed him. His preeminence amazed him. Verse 27, they declared, even the unclean spirits do obey him. Why do unclean spirits obey? See, he didn't create them, but he created the angels. And Lucifer is a fallen angel. And these evil spirits that prevail are in his domain. And Jesus is saying, just as I was there when Lucifer, your leader, was cast out of heaven, I am here on this earth to remind you, you are in subjection to me. There's not a demon that will ever cross in life, not a devil will ever face, that Jesus doesn't have preeminence and power over them. He is in total control. Well, then why do we fill our life with so much fear? Why do we fill our life? See, when Jesus is there, he tells the unclean spirit to come out, and he tells the unclean spirit to go, to leave. He tells the man, you've been rescued from this spirit. That's what Jesus wants to do in every service. Tell the devil no and tell you, you've been rescued by his hand. He's out to rescue people. He's out to set people free. But the most amazing part of all of this, the last word in verse 27, here's the proof of the preeminence. What's the last word in that verse? Him. It ended with him. They were amazed at the beginning because he was there. And they were amazed at the end of the service because of him. So much so that his fame spread abroad. Hey, Jesus came to church today. Wouldn't it be wonderful for us to leave this place and say, you know something? We went to church today, and when we got there, Jesus was there. And we were astonished, and at the end of the service, he was still there, and we were amazed. Amazed at what he did to answer prayer and to help people and deliver people and forgive of sin. Astonished at the lives that are changed. Is there anyone here this morning that's amazed at what you are now that Jesus is in your life compared to what you were without him? But when Jesus came in morning after morning, now you look up and say, I'm just astonished that he'd love anybody like me, and I'm amazed that he'd use anybody like me, and I'm amazed at the grace of God and the power of Jesus Christ that I can pray, and in his goodness he answers prayer. I'm amazed at the healings that occur. I'm amazed at the sinners that are saved. I'm amazed at the miracles that I see day after day. It all comes from going to a church that focuses on Jesus. It's about him. Him. He has to be preeminent in all things. It's a matter of priority. He's here in your life. Is he first? He's here in your day. Will he be first? He should be first in all things. Your heads are bowed for a moment, and Howard's coming, getting ready to sing. Oh, what a Savior we serve. What a mighty God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory belongs to you.